the second one. So this is the one for Monday night. So when you come to Haggadah Night of Shari Shemayim at 8 o'clock, don't worry. Just don't let on. Don't like shout out the answer. Okay. So this is something that actually struck me during the Seder last year. And at the time I said, oh, I got to save that to do it at Haggadah Night in Yerushalayim. So I didn't get the Yerushalayim part, but nonetheless, it's still useful. If you take a look at source number one, this is from the part of the Maggid where we say, Vayagar Sham, right? He sojourned there. No one knows what sojourning is, but sojourning is Vayagar. Yeah. It means to stay temporarily. The Melamed Shelo Yarad Yaakov Avinu Lishtakeya B'Mitzrayim Ela Lagur Sham. It teaches that Yaakov did not descend planning to settle in Egypt. Lishtakeya, like Shkia, sunset, right? He did not intend to settle there. Only to sojourn there, lagur sham. And they quote a pasuk, Vayamru Paro lagur ba'aretz banu. They said to Paro, we have come to sojourn in the land. You see that? They intended only to be there briefly. And it's based on a medrash in the Sifri. It's based also on the fact that Yaakov actually says to Paro, lagur ba'aretz banu. Right? We came just to be here for a bit. And that's what he quotes here in the... He said to Paro, we have come to sojourn in the land. It's also in Yeshaya. If you take a look at source number two, where Yeshaya says, Mitzrayim yarad ami barishona lagur sham. My nation descended to Egypt at first to sojourn there. Right? That's clear. We understand the pedigree for this statement. They only intended to be there temporarily. My question is, who cares? What does that have to do with anything? Okay, Yaakov intended to be there temporarily, and lo and behold, he didn't. Why is that relevant for my Haggadah? What role does this play in the story?
Maybe the hatred that the Mitzrayim had towards them. Like, I mean, we're seeing it now in America and Canada, like anti-immigrant sentiment. Like, maybe people are like, you were only supposed to come here and stop what we're doing here.
So we didn't intend for you guys to... You didn't intend to be here long, and we didn't intend for you to be here long either. It would be good. Yeah. No, it's a good point. I would want the Haggadah to say so.
But the Haggadah doesn't say anything mean. It says only nice things.
No, but about the Egyptians, it does. It quotes the Egyptians. Yeah. It says the Egyptians said,
but not about Yaakov, okay.
Right. No, but the Haggadah specifically actually says, you know, the Egyptians said, Havan Ishaq Malo, we'll be smart about them, lest they become many, right? And then there's going to be war, they will join our enemies, the Alam in Haaretz, which literally means they're going to leave, and we don't want them to, but it's not really the meaning of it, it's a euphemism. It's they're going to join our enemies and drive us out of the land. But no one actually says we didn't intend them to stay.
No, and maybe that's why Yaakov, like, I intended to stay, and then as things happened, it didn't. But maybe
right.
Making a point of, like, once they actually settled, the Egyptians were like, whoa.
Okay, so maybe. I would have wanted to see explained more, but I hear what you're saying, that it can be a cause of
Is
that.
Is your question, why do we care that he decided that he stayed and he wasn't going to?
Why does it matter in my life that Yaakov thought he was there only temporarily, and lo and behold, he ended up being there long term?
Because he ended up being there a long time. He brought us to be there, and then we became...
So just say that.
No. Right. Why
just say that.
He didn't intend.
Who needs
why are
the first
we emphasizing
part?
Because
we shouldn't intend.
Because we should never think that we should never settle. Like,
so it's a lesson for us long term.
Yeah.
Could be.
Like, we should never settle ourselves and be assimilated and comfortable in a place that's not ours. And I think because Yaakov was one of our avos, it was saying to us, like, he was never intending to be here. This is not something one of the avos would have done, settled in an Egyptian land and made, right, and ever thought he was going to stay there. Like, don't kid yourself. He was never going to be there a long
Could
time.
Could be.
But did Yaakov know the prophecy from Abraham that they were going to end up there?
So, good. I'm coming back to that.
So
my first approach, and I hear what you're saying, and the idea of it being a lesson for us overall, I think is valuable, and the fact that it may have been behind the hatred for Jews of, like, hey, why are you still here in my country? Especially when the famine ended very early on, you know? I mean, the famine ends when Yaakov comes down. Yeah, that's a whole other piece of the story. But I think the first answer that I would give of my own is that the Medrash is maybe an anti-Egypt polemic inserted into our Seder. We have multiple warnings in the Torah of don't go back to Egypt. You're not supposed to live in Egypt. Lo sashuba derech hazeh od, lo sosifu lo sama od ad olam. Three different times, as the Rambam counts it, we are told, don't go back to Egypt. And the Medrash uses Lagur Sham as a warning against thinking you can go to Egypt and escape unscathed.
Because Yaakov went.
Abraham first went down to Egypt, Lagur Sham. I gave you the reference in sources three and four. Abraham says he is going down to Egypt, Lagur Sham, and he succeeds in leaving after this whole incident with Paro taking Sarah. At the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, there are many Jews who want to side with Egypt against the invading Babylonians. Right? The Babylonians are this big, mighty power from the east, northeast, who come through the region, destroying everything. The Egyptians are the anchor, because they are, number one, protected by a buffer of all these nations between them and Babel, but also because they're powerful and wealthy and very large. And so the Egyptians are seen as the counterbalance to anyone who's going to invade from the east. They're the counterbalance against the Assyrians, the counterbalance against the Babylonians. They're supposed to be the counterbalance against the Greeks. Doesn't quite work out. But the Jews, many of them say, we want to flee to Egypt. And they use the same term, Lagur Sham. The same exact words. They want to go, Lagur Sham. I gave you references in source number 4 to passages in Yirmiyahu, who is the one who talks to them about this. I count no fewer than 7 times where the text says, Lagur Sham. We want to go to Egypt, Lagur Sham. And I think this medrash is a warning. Obviously not a warning to those Jews, because they didn't have this medrash in Yirmiyahu's day. But it's a warning to us to say, Jews have always thought that they were going to Egypt, Lagur Sham. It's a bad idea. It goes a little bit well with what you're saying, Indy. You know? So maybe that's the answer. But I think there's a bigger answer.
Why can't we just keep it local? Like, we're teaching a lesson to the Jews of Mitzrayim at the time. Like, Yaakov didn't really want to stay here. Like, don't get so comfortable. Like,
because the Jews, who's in Mitzrayim at this point?
No, like the ones who are...
You know about the Seder?
Yeah.
So why are all of us... I mean, the Jews in Mitzrayim, there is a community of Jews in Egypt in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, in the time after the second Beis Hamikdash.
No, I mean the Jews that are escaping, right? They don't want to leave, right?
Like, because my question is, why is this in our Haggadah? But this is ours. In other words, when the text says, Vayagar Shambim Seme'at, right? That text comes from Parshas Kisavo. It's what the farmer says when he goes to bring the Bikurim. So the Haggadah brings a medrash which comments on those words that Yaakov went down to Egypt and he sojourned there, saying he didn't think he was going to be there long term. But that's not there. So that's why I'm so puzzled by it. But I'll tell you what I think is the answer. And I like it more than my other answer. It's part of a theme in the Haggadah of unexpected reversals and destiny. If you think of, since Purim was only a couple of weeks ago, Venahafohu, it's very much like that. We have examples of unexpected reversals in the Haggadah, and I gave you the ones I came up with. You may come up with more, let me know. But take a look at source number 5. I gave you a list there. We talk in the Haggadah about Lavan Bikesh Lakor as Hakol, right? Lavan wanted to uproot everything. And of course, the result of that was, Vahisham Lagoy Gadol Atzum Varav. We became many. Yaakov, this one, intended to sojourn in Egypt and ended up there long term. We descend to Egypt Bimse Ma'at. We were few. We were just 70. And Hashem made us Lagoy Gadol, a huge nation. Vayarei osanu hamitzrim, the Egyptians did bad things to us. They tried to shrink us and defeat us lest we become many. And we became many. There are a lot of people who have different ideas about what's going to happen, and then something completely different ends up happening. It's a theme in the Haggadah. And I think the message of it is that you have a destiny. The Rav Soloveitchik, in his essay Kol Dodi Dofek, I got 4 minutes. In his essay Kol Dodi Dofek, talks about the difference between fate and destiny, goral and yiud. And fate is when a person simply says, "This is what had to happen to me. It's just luck of the draw type of a thing," as opposed to yiud, which is, "I have a destiny. I have a goal that I'm supposed to be working towards and growing towards. There are opportunities Hashem is going to place before us that will enable us to become great." One example of it is in number 6, where he talks about six times when it was surrounding the founding of the state of Israel, Hashem was knocking at the door, trying to say to us, like in Shir HaShirim, where the beloved knocks at the door, and Hashem is waiting for us to answer. He says, you're kidding yourself if you believe that that meeting of the UN, where they approved the founding of the state of Israel, was just some kind of a human endeavor. He says, you know, what he who looked carefully with his spiritual eyes saw the true chairman who conducted the proceedings. That's the beloved. He knocked with his gavel on the lectern. It's Hashem who is orchestrating these things. Hashem who is giving us a destiny. And you think one thing is going to happen, and then you find out something else altogether is happening. And this goes back to Bris Bein Habesarim and why we went to Egypt in the first place. If you see, I referenced in source number 7, Hashem tells Abraham that he is going to have descendants, right? You're going to have kids, Abraham. Don't worry. And Abraham trusts God. It says, V'amin b'Hashem. He trusts Hashem. Then Hashem says to him, your descendants are going to receive Eretz Yisrael. They're going to become a great nation of Hashem in their own land. And the response of Abraham is, Bama edaki irashana. How do I know that's going to happen? And as a result of that, there's a lot of commentary trying to explain. That's what it sounds like. A lot of commentators try to explain, how can you say that Avraham, who passes the 10 tests, doesn't believe? That's a very difficult idea. But the Gemara says it in source number 8, that the Gemara in Nedarim tells us why the Jews went down to Mitzrayim. And it gives us 3 different answers, all of which deserve their own attention. But the one that I'm focusing on is the second one, Shmuel, who says he exceeded propriety regarding divine conduct. Hifriz al midosav shalakadosh baruch hu. He questioned Hashem. He said, how do I know? We go down to Mitzrayim, according to Shmuel here, because Avraham says, how do I know that this is what's going to happen? And Hashem promises and says, your children are going to have to endure slavery in Egypt, and then they will emerge with wealth. That is going to be the destiny. And the simple message of that story is emuna in our destiny. For all of Abraham's emuna, for all of the 10 tests, even he needed to learn that life doesn't care about your plans. You know, you have your expectations of what today is and tomorrow is and the next day is, and Hashem is going to do what Hashem is going to do. You know, and your plans, maybe Hashem lets them go, maybe Hashem doesn't let them go. The body of the Seder itself highlights these foiled expectations and how God says what's going to be. Not just in what we just said about the reversals, but beyond that, right? Hashem called the shot in advance. Vavadum ve'inu osam. You just asked, right? Yaakov knew. Avram told them. And we know Yaakov knows because Yosef somehow knows that Hashem is going to take us out. And yet Yaakov thought we would only be there temporarily. Look who was right. You know? Lavan and Paro made their plans and their projections, and Hashem frustrated their plans and their projections. And we live that idea of overriding destiny in the Seder, because we do everything in unexpected ways, right? To inspire people to ask, what's going on? We say manishtana. The Aruch HaShulchan explains, what does manishtana mean? It doesn't mean, why is this different? It means, wow, this is different. The word ma is an exclamation, like hinei ma tov u ma na'im. The Aruch HaShulchan says, I referenced it for you in source number 9, it's, wow, this night is so different. Everything is upside down. It's not what I expected. At the original Seder, we had a mitzvah of eating b'chipazon in a rush, even though we knew 2 weeks earlier that we were leaving. Act as though you're surprised, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Why do we eat matzah? Says the Ran. We eat matzah. The Torah says you eat matzah because we left in a rush and our matzah didn't rise, even though we knew we were leaving, right? The Ran says, Rabbeinu Nisim, that chametz was actually allowed for us on the 15th of Nisan. Chametz was allowed. But Hashem said, I want you to do this in a rush, and I'm not going to give you that opportunity. Yes.
On purpose. To get us out of there.
But it didn't have to be. We knew 2 weeks ago we were leaving.
No, but I think it was more of, if we didn't rush and do everything, like from a Yitzhar perspective, and wouldn't it be too hard to get out? Like if we didn't rush
there is this whole idea, the 49th level of impurity. Like there's a lot of other stuff that goes with this. It's true.
There's so much rushing throughout the whole.
Right. One last turnabout in Halach Ma'anya. Hashata Hacha, Lashana Haba Barad Yisrael. Hashata Avde, Lashana Haba B'nei Chorin. This year we are here, next year we're in Israel. This year we are here, next year we're going to be free. So the thing to contemplate as the answer to our question, why did we emphasize Yaakov's change in plans? It's to recognize that we have a great destiny, and all of our plans and expectations, like the expectations of Yaakov, like the expectations of Laban, like the expectations of Paro, like the expectations of the Jews who are leaving Mitzrayim, are ultimately subject to change to achieve that great goal that Hashem has for us. That's the idea.